Hey guys, welcome to the E-commerce Paradise High Ticket Dropshipping Podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Fenner, and today I'm going to be talking about how to create a high converting, high ticket dropshipping website. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, get my free niches list at ecommerceparadise.com/niches. It's a list of 99 high ticket niches that are really good for breaking into high ticket dropshipping because there are suppliers, there's not too much competition, and there's a lot of demand. Well, let's get into it. With high-ticket dropshipping, it's really important to have a high-converting website because there's usually a lot of competition, and there's different stores, like retail stores online, that will sell the same products as you, and customers have a lot of different choices to go from, and a really easy way to find all those different stores. Usually, they're searching on Google, and they look through Google Shopping or Google Organics, or maybe they've seen or heard about competitors through YouTube or social media or email marketing somehow, or just from a friend. So it's really hard to win the sale. And what you have to do is you have to focus on conversion optimization. And the main thing that you want to do first and foremost is think about the kind of traffic that you're sending to your website. If you have a high converting website, but really not good traffic of people that aren't really interested in buying that product, then of course, you're probably not going to convert anybody. But even if you have a low converting website, but you're sending the best kind of traffic to your website, people that really want to get that product right now, right, then you might actually just make a sale. So I think that the thing with conversion optimization, first and foremost, is actually the kind of traffic you're sending to your website. I've had this actually make or break businesses before. So it's really important to look at that. And I'll just tell you right now, with high ticket dropshipping, the best kind of traffic to send you your website is people that are searching on Google for the product that you're selling. Right, so they're typing in the long tail keyword of that product that usually includes the brand name, the model name, and or the SKU number. All right, so when you type in that whatever product is onto Google, what do you see? Do you see yourself in the listings, or do you just see your competitors? Do you see Google Shopping ads? Do you see search text ads? Do you see organic rankings? Do you see images, videos, whatever? So you gotta analyze the search results and see if you're ranking. You really don't wanna be on the first page of Google if you wanna get good traffic for that keyword, okay? So the first thing you should do is always focus on getting traffic for those low-hanging fruit keywords, the product and SKU keywords. The way you do that, first and foremost, obviously, is through Google Ads, because with Google, it's very hard to rank on the first page right away. If you put up a website, it's probably going to take you months, if not years, to rank on the first page, depending on the competition. Of course, if there's no competition, you might rank on the first page pretty easily, but usually there's a lot of competition, so you have to do something else. You have to run advertising campaigns with Google Ads. And Google Ads are pretty simple to set up. The dashboard is pretty simple to understand, and they have free training on it as well. And in my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass, I provide a full walkthrough and breakdown of the entire Google Ads platform and how to set up specific types of campaigns that are high-converting campaigns. But I'll just do a brief overview here in this podcast so you guys can understand. So with Google Ads, the best thing to start is Google Shopping campaigns. Google Shopping is the best thing because it's going to show a picture, a price, and the store name and an offer right there at the very top of the Google search results, above everything else. So you're immediately not only going to have the first thing that they look at, but it's more attractive because it's an image, and you're going to be able to get that customer qualified before they go to your website, kind of self-qualify them because you showed the price already. So that's kind of the key thing, is if it's like a huge price, then if it's a huge price, they might just click through anyways just to see it because they're interested. And of course, that's not good traffic either. But by showing the price, at least hopefully you'll, already be sort of self-qualifying people or give them a chance to self-qualify themselves, right? So with that in mind, it's also really good to make sure that you have a good offer. That means that you are matching the price with your competitors and or you're following the minimum advertised price policy that their suppliers have. Having the best price is good, but sometimes you can't do that. You have to match your competitors because of MAP policies. So the best thing to do other than that is to run like a site-wide promotion, like a discount coupon or free shipping, or offer free gifts and maybe additional value in other ways, so that maybe you can make package listings, things that they can't find in the competitors that they are interested in finding. But yeah, so make sure that you're really targeting the product keywords with Google Shopping ads. And the way you do that is using campaign priorities and negative keyword lists. So it's a really good way to do it. There's two ways to do it. You can either just have two basic campaigns and have one set on high and one set on medium or low. One is going to target just generic keywords, and the other is going to target all the brand and product and SKU keywords and things like that. Okay, and then you'll have two negative keyword lists. a negative keyword list for the brands and product keywords and stuff like that, and you'll apply that to the high priority campaign, the generic campaign, and that'll push the traffic down into your brand's campaign. Or you can just have them both be the same priority and then just set negative keywords every single day as you go so that the traffic eventually filters down. But it takes a lot more work to do that. So I like to do it using priorities because then you can kind of make it so that it shows that right traffic in the beginning. So the thing about shopping campaigns is you can't actually tell them what keywords to show for it. They choose it themselves. It's automated, right? And that they're not always showing it for the best keywords. And if you bid really high on a generic campaign, usually you'll get traffic that is not going to convert right away, okay? So make sure you set up a campaign with priorities, negative keyword lists. And if you don't really understand that, if it's kind of above your head and all that, I totally get that. You can go check out my High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass where I have like a full breakdown and a complete explainer on that stuff so you can kind of wrap your head around the idea of this sort of campaign structure. But ideally, you would have things set up that way so that Google Shopping knows that you want to bid higher on those branded keywords like brand names or model names or SKU numbers. Okay. So your bids will be low on the generic campaign and higher on the branded keywords campaign. It's pretty simple when you think about it. So that's kind of the main thing is that hopefully you'll be able to show up for your product model, SKU, and brand keywords that you're selling on the first page of Google at the very top in the shopping campaign listings. Another thing you can do is run search text ad campaigns for those specific keywords. And of course, those are just regular ad campaigns, so they'll actually target those keywords. So you want to use like exact match or phrase match keywords. But when you're sending this kind of traffic to your site, these people are way lower in the funnel. They've already done their research. They know what they want. They're looking for a good price in a store that they trust that they want to buy from that has the best offer, that'll ship it for free or whatever, the fastest shipping, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of different reasons people buy from certain stores. Okay, so when you send that traffic to your website, it's much more likely to convert. So even if you have a low converting website, at least you're sending the right traffic. That's what makes sense. Now, what I found with ad campaigns sometimes is if you add a brand that has a lot of competition, it's very hard to start showing your ads. So you have to bid a lot higher. And vice versa, if you add a brand that has very low competition, then you'll end up spending a lot of money advertising and they might not even, buy from you. They just see you in the ads, they click you. Okay, so you want to manage your bids properly. And if you see things overspending, you want to lower the bids. You see things that are not spending that well, you want to raise the bids. And just check the search engine results on your own and kind of see how you're ranking so that you can do stuff. You can see some ranking metrics within Google Ads, but you really get an idea if you check it yourself. And use a VPN if you, want to put yourself on the West Coast or the East Coast or the Midwest somewhere. You can check different areas of the U.S. and how you rank and stuff like that. Because in Google Ads, you can book bid adjustments for different places, right? So some people do that for places that convert better than others, right? So you can see how you rank in like California versus New York versus Washington versus Florida versus Ohio or, Texas, whatever. Okay. So once you have your traffic down and you have a decently converting website, you should start getting some sales. Okay, so, or at least some abandoned carts, abandoned checkouts, right? And once you start seeing that, then it's really good. It's a good sign that you're sending the right kind of traffic to your website. Now you just need to work on your offer and your conversions on your website. So there's a lot of things to focus on, but the main thing is the low-hanging fruit. It's like the bottom thing. You should really focus on the price. Make sure you're listed at minimum advertised price and check your competitors to make sure they're listing there too, because people usually buy based on price. Not all the time, but usually, right? So sometimes with suppliers, like, shipping costs are really high and margins are kind of low, so you have to raise the price a bit to cover the shipping costs, right? So you don't lose money when you make the sale. So you'll need to do that. Sometimes you'll check competitors and you'll see their prices a little bit higher because they offer free shipping, or they still sell at MAP, but in checkout they charge shipping. So that's something you are going to need to look at eventually. You'll encounter that as you go on. In some niches, it's more common than others. Some niches, there's a lot of suppliers that do free shipping, but some suppliers just don't, and they're going to charge you the shipping price. And if you want to offer free shipping to your customers, you're going to have to eat that or charge more upfront for the part above MAP price. And it is what it is. So, but the main thing that people are looking for is price. And what goes along with that is having a low price guarantee or a price matching policy, some way where you can tell the customer, hey, no matter what, if you buy from us, we will still match the price if you find it lower somewhere else. Okay, it just kind of puts people at ease and makes them not need to go shop around so much. The problem with that, though, of course, is that if there is a competitor selling for less, or if you have that issue where you have to raise it to cover shipping costs above MAP price, well, then you really need to exclude that brand from your low price guarantee policy if you have one, and you should have one because that's going to really help your customers feel better about buying from you. And you should also promote these kinds of things. Like if you have a price matching or low price guarantee, put it on your product page right there front and center next to your add to cart button, next to the price, so that people know no matter what, hey, we're going to be able to give you the best price there is out there. Okay, other things that really help are like social proof, which is in the form of reviews usually. So adding reviews to your website, like curating from your brand's, you know, the supplier that you're selling from their website, or from your competitors even. Or you can just really try to get reviews from customers that buy from you. Of course, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get reviews, but first and foremost, I think reviews are really important. You don't have to have them be like actually in the reviews app. You can just add kind of like fake testimonials into your product description. You know, that kind of stuff just helps. Okay, people are reading the description, they see someone face and like a little quote box, and this product is awesome, works great for me. Even though it could be totally fake, it really works to help people kind of like be like, okay, this product is probably pretty good. And it works to close sales. Is it completely moral and, you know, ethical? Yeah, it depends on who you are. You know, that's arguable, but it does work for sales. All right, so another thing that's great with that is some kind of scarcity with your stock and your quantity that you have on hand. Amazon does this all the time, where if they have like less than 5 or something like that, or less than 10, they'll put it on there like only 3 left in stock or something like that. It gives people like a reason to buy now so that they're not going to miss out and have to wait again. Okay, so you might not be able to keep accurate counts of your stock, or if you are, then that's great, but you should at least put something on your website like you only have a few left, or, you know, that kind of thing. It really helps. And then along with that, having some sort of urgency where there's like something that's expiring, like a coupon code that's expiring, is really good. You know, a countdown timer is not a bad idea. It can look kind of sleazy sometimes, so use them carefully. But having some sort of scarcity urgency in your website is really helpful, especially for getting people to buy now instead of just waiting and buying later, you know, or procrastinating or just forgetting about you altogether. All right. The next thing you can do is add more value, and I already kind of approached this topic, but add more value in the form of free gifts. So you can add digital products like ebooks or courses, or you can actually go and add a physical product, either from the same supplier, or you can add it from a distributor, or even like an online retailer like Walmart or something like that. You can just find a cheap free gift that you can offer that person. And then if it, you know, it's only like 10, 20, 30 bucks, maybe 50 bucks, whatever, it's not gonna cut too much into your margins if you're selling like a product that, you know, profits you, let's say 5 to 10x what the free gift costs, and it's totally worth it. Okay, and that's what I usually do, is I have like a 5 or 10x target for the free gift. So if we're gonna profit $500 on the sale, I look for a $50 or less free gift, that kind of thing. Or even up to $100. It really depends on what the competition is doing. So you gotta research your competition, see what they're doing, and try to match and always try to beat their offer if possible, okay? So next, of course, and this is probably one of the first things you should look at, is your website loading time, like how long it takes for your website to load. If you can get your website to load faster, of course it's gonna convert better, especially on mobile, okay? And there's a lot of things that can slow a website down. Having a really complicated theme is one of them, but more so it's the JavaScript from the apps that go into your website. So there's apps that actually help you move the JavaScript around so that it loads last, and instead of loading first, so you kind of see stuff and then the JavaScript loads. So, you know, it's called, there's a thing called lazy loading where it loads JavaScript last and it loads images last, and it doesn't load the image until you scroll down the page, that kind of thing. So it doesn't, you know, take up all the time above the fold. So you should definitely look at that kind of stuff and try to figure out how to get your website to load faster. And, you know, that'll really help your conversion rate as well. Okay, so, and then make it really easy for people to find the add to cart button, and make it a bright, you know, nice orange color. I always match the Amazon's add to cart button color. And if your products aren't super expensive, or if you have like upsell funnels where you sell accessories, you can use a buy now button too. On anything under $100 is usually like an impulse buy decision. So adding a buy now next to your add to cart is not a bad idea. And yeah, just having that add to cart button really easy to find. And a lot of websites, they open just like a, what do you call it, a modal, which is where the cart kind of pops up from the side or whatever. And I don't really like doing that. I like using the actual cart page because it gives people the ability to kind of like mix and match their carts, so like change quantities and all that. You can put more additional marketing, you know, stuff onto the cart page, kind of like emphasize your USP, unique selling proposition, emphasize your discounts, emphasize your reviews and your social proof, that kind of stuff, and your urgency, so that it kind of accelerates. I feel like the cart page is like an acceleration page. It's an amplifier page of all your marketing stuff. So having a cart page and sending them directly to cart after the add to cart click is a really good idea, because it helps to accelerate that purchase decision. Shopify's checkout is not really optimized, especially because you cannot remove or change quantities in their checkout. So sending people directly to Shopify checkout can harm your conversion rate sometimes, especially if you have a niche where people want to add different products all the time and stuff like that. It's kind of hard to do stuff, you know. So it is what it is. That's why I like to send people to cart page instead of directly to checkout. If you have a niche where people are just buying one product and then they go and buy other products, then it might work well for you. But generally speaking, send people the cart page, give them the ability to add more products and or just change the quantities and stuff like that, and then send them to checkout. All right, so once you get all that done and you've got some good stuff going on, you should start seeing lots of sales. Another thing is just to do what's called omni-channel marketing. So instead of just existing in Google Shopping, you got to put your website in other search engines and then in social media as well, and do a lot of email marketing. When you do omni-channel marketing, you're touching people in different places all the time with your communication, and that's going to make it so that they are going to trust you more. Okay, so consider doing Bing ads. That's the other thing on search engines that's really big. So Google Ads and Bing Ads. Do a lot of SEO work so that you're getting traffic from blogs and that you're also getting higher organic rankings in the search engines, not just running ads. That free traffic will convert and it'll help to ease your ad spend and increase ROAS and all that. Do, of course, like I said, social media marketing. Just post about your brands and products. If you get reviews, post about those as well. And images and videos are great if you can put them. There's a lot of free stock images. You can use images from your suppliers too, that kind of stuff. And in email marketing, it's a really good idea to do sale campaigns for big sales holidays. Like right now, what's coming up is Memorial Day, so you should be doing a pre-sale campaign as well as a sale campaign for that. Usually it's like a 3 to 5 email campaign. You have a pre-sale series, then you have the actual sales series, and then you might even do like a continuation after the sale's over. Like for Black Friday, I usually do that, like continue the sale for a week or so, so that people missed out on it, they can still buy it, that kind of thing. All right, and then what's really good too is to focus on your product descriptions on your website. Okay, a lot of people just copy and paste what the supplier has, and that's good to start with, but it's not really, usually not optimized. So you can use ChatGPT, and you can ask it to write product description for your product, and you just have to fact check it and make sure it's not telling lies and stuff like that. And yeah, ChatGPT does a great job at writing product descriptions. You'd be impressed, and it's a free tool to use. So definitely do that. Improve your product descriptions, put images into them, and you know, just do a good job of explaining things and make them readable. Use bullet point lists and things like that. Product descriptions are really going to help you sell more. And then using high quality images, of course, is kind of a no-brainer, but definitely do that. If you can, get them from your supplier, get them from your supplier. If you have to search for your competitors' websites, you can pull from them as long as they don't have any like branding or it's not like really easy to tell that it's like their product image, you know, or like their like customer's review image or whatever. So just be careful with that. But use high quality images. Don't use like low quality ones. If your supplier sends you, or if you like just import from your supplier's website and it's low quality, ask them separately for like a list of files of high quality images that you can use. Set up your navigation in a way that's easy to sort through. I usually do a thing where we have like three tiers. You have a mega menu, a main menu, and then a sub menu. So your mega menu is going to be like the main category, and then your main menu is going to be like the product category, and then your sub menu is going to be the subcategories within that. So yeah, like I guess an example would be like if you were doing something in the home niche and you're selling like electric fireplaces, your main category would be like fire or heat or something like that, or living room even, you know, that kind of thing. And then within that you'd have fireplaces and then electric fireplaces, ethanol fireplaces, so on and so forth. Let's see. So that's pretty much it. I would say the lastly is like really check mobile. People shop on mobile all the time. So you really want to optimize for mobile. And don't forget about mobile. Optimize for desktop too, but don't forget about mobile and really try to optimize as much as you can. And you know, okay. So one of the main things I've done, over time that's been successful is to not distract customers. When you put onto your website, like things like related products, other products, that kind of stuff, it really tends to distract them and to get them to kind of procrastinate and sort of not be able to make a decision right away. So you want to get them to make a decision, and you want them to make the right decision, but you want to make that decision with you instead of somebody else, right? So don't distract them on your website. When they land on your page, treat it as like a sales page for that particular product only. Don't try to sell them on like many other products that you have in stock. Okay, if you're driving the right kind of traffic to your website, it's people that have already done their research and are searching for the best deal on that particular product, right? So definitely just don't distract them with other products. Give them that product, give them the best deal, and help them make that decision right away. It's really good. And this kind of goes without saying, but offer really good customer support and sales. Like you got to have somebody who's going to, if you're not going to do it yourself, you got to have somebody who's going to call people when they abandon their checkout, who are going to answer the phone and answer questions about your website or about the product before the sale. And then after the sale, of course, get it shipped out right away and make sure that it arrives and everything's good, and then follow up and get a review, that kind of stuff. So having really good customer support is really important. And even if you have like a thing that happens that's really bad, try to treat the customer good. Even if the customer is acting kind of crazy, if you treat them good, usually they'll come back to you and they'll appreciate it and they'll apologize. So just try to treat customers good and help them out. Lastly, I'd like to talk about, is policies. When you have an e-commerce site, people are going to look through your policy pages. So your return policy, shipping policies, warranty policies, things like that. You got to have those really nailed. What I would say is like start with templates, but check your competitors and see what they do. Because you'll really want to optimize based on what your competitors do and improve your website. You can just kind of pull their content and then like rewrite it with ChatGPT, that kind of thing. I would recommend just making sure that the policies are clear, easy to understand, and match what your suppliers do. Because you're a dropshipper, probably aren't going to have a warehouse of your own. So you got to have like returns go back to your supplier and things like that. And if they don't accept returns, you got to put that on your website really clear. Make sure that the supplier's warranty policy is on your website. You can upload product manuals and all that stuff too from your suppliers. There's a lot of optimization you can do, but bottom line is you just got to make sure that your website is clean, clear, and makes sense to somebody so that they don't feel like they're going to get scammed or something like that. Okay, so all right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Definitely check out my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass at ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass for a full breakthrough and run-through of high-ticket dropshipping, how to do it. There's 35 modules. It's bigger than any other course out there on high-ticket dropshipping, and I've been told it's much better as well because it's more of a walkthrough and like a do-it-as-you-watch kind of course. It's not just like talking head stuff. It's like I actually show you what to do over. You can watch over my shoulder as I'm doing it, as I'm building a store, that kind of thing. So it's really helpful. I also offer some services you can check out at ecommerceparadise.com. One of them is a turnkey done-for-you service where we actually build you one of these high-ticket dropshipping businesses. And it's great for investors. If you have a lot of money, if you're a bit older, you just don't have a ton of time, but you want to build one of these, you know, semi-passive e-commerce businesses where it's doing dropshipping, high-ticket, blah, blah, blah. It's really good to consider doing some sort of a done-for-you. And we provide that service because I have a team. And we build these stores out and we optimize like crazy all the time. We have our own internal stores and we work on client stores constantly. And our new turnkey service also includes a partnership program where for a revenue share, my team will continue to build the store out and even hire and train and manage a VA for you. Right. And so that's going to make it so that you don't have to do so much work. The store will continue to be built. You can kind of take a backseat CEO approach to the business while we continue to run it and manage things for you. And it's a much easier way to do it. So consider that. Check out the turnkey done for you service at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. A bunch of other services as well. Check it out. Get Google Ad Management for stores that are currently running. You want help with your ads. We do that. SEO optimization, just specifically in the ways that work for high ticket dropshipping. I have private coaching as well. So go to ecommerceparadise.com, check it all out. And please, if you like this podcast, definitely subscribe and leave a review. I appreciate all reviews that I get, and it really helps to grow the audience. And check out the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/ecommerceparadise or at ecommerceparadise, I think. I'm not exactly sure what the URL is, but you can just find it there. And I appreciate you listening to this podcast so much. Take care and have a great day.